The message I have for you this morning is titled what? How Faith Works. Can we say that together? You know, and I bring this message to you this morning with a lot of excitement in my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to have two sessions. So basically, I can't finish this message today. I know already. So we will continue next week. I've changed the plan for next week. We'll continue. There'll be a part two. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's start where we should start. Hebrews chapter 11. Today, we want to learn about faith. And I tell you, we're not learning for learning's sake. I'll tell you some things about faith today that should to shake you, should blow your mind, you know, in a good way. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Are you there? Let's take verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. And we're going to take that from maybe three different versions just to see the shades of meaning. Hebrews. Like I always advise you in this church, don't just read your Bible from one version. The Bible was written in Greek. When Greek is translated to English, there are many meanings that could come out. And so if you're just using only one version, you may be losing some shades of meaning. Always try to use like three versions so you can compare and get all the meaning. Hebrews 11, 1. Who would like to be the first reader today? Hebrews 11, 1. Hey, Fernando. Why not? Hebrews 11, 1. Let's go.
Now, faith is the substance of things.
Now, faith is what?
The substance. The substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen. Amen. Now, faith is the substance. So, the first thing I need to make you understand about faith, I'm talking about the God kind of faith, is that it is tangible. It is a substance. Hallelujah. It's tangible. Hallelujah. It's what?
Tangible.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Let me first explain to you. Now, as a Christian, you have a blessed hope. Hallelujah. What is your blessed hope? As a Christian, what is your ultimate hope? Your blessed hope.
Your ultimate hope is your salvation.
Yes. We are saved. We are being saved. So when I say you are saved, it means that in your spirit, you are reborn. When you accept Jesus, it's not automatic, but when you accept Jesus, because Jesus is the light of the world. When you accept him in and you make him the Lord of your life, that light so much overshadows your spirit, you have a new birth. Hallelujah. That spirit is saved. Then you are being saved because your mind, which has been full of so many garbage, you know where the garbage comes from? The world. Hallelujah. That mind needs to be renewed. And that happens as you feed on the word of God. And that is saving your soul. That's how your soul gets saved. Because your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. Your soul is in your head. You understand? Your heart is within you. But your soul is where? In your head, your mind, the center of reason, your emotions. Your center of decision making, they are all where? In your soul. And that soul gets saved as you renew it with the word of God. Then your body, which is your house in which you live now. Hallelujah. By the way, take good care of your body. Because if your body is not functioning well, your spirit is in that. Are you with me? You can only function on this earth through your body. So if your body is contaminated or corrupted or defiled, your spirit is in that. Are you with me? But that body is not yet saved. It's still mortal. Yeah? But at the rapture, when Jesus comes, your body will be changed. Hallelujah. It will be changed from mortal to immortal. That's what happened to Jesus when he rose up. He rose up with a new body. Let me tease you. You know that new body? It can go through walls. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's why Jesus just appeared and what? Disappeared. Because that new body, it moves faster than the speed of light. Hallelujah. That body can ascend without any proportion. Are you with me? And that's why Jesus what? He what? Ascended. It was not a fast ascension. It was going very slowly and they were watching him until he disappeared into the clouds. And the time is coming that your body will be transformed. Hallelujah. And that's what we call the hope of salvation. It's the fullness of our salvation. It's not just the body itself. We also get into heaven and the Lord will cleanse us through the judgment seat and he will reward us. Hallelujah. It's the hope. It's our blessed hope. Your blessed hope as a Christian is that one day it's coming. You will get to heaven. Amen? And you will sit with Jesus. Hallelujah. And you will see God face to face. It's the blessed hope. Are you with me? But Christianity is not just a pie in the sky. If all that was about Christianity, yeah? If Christianity was all about, you know, repent now and receive Jesus so that you can go to heaven, then it looks like it's a pie in the sky. That's why some people make the mistake. That's why some people say, you know, wait until I'm very old. On my deathbed, I will accept Christ. Because their view of Christianity is just that it's what? A pie in the sky. But I tell you something, the hope is very important. But if all that you had in your life is hope, you will have no results on earth. Hallelujah. Because hope is future. Are you with me? But faith is the substance. So that blessed hope we have of going to heaven, we can begin to experience heaven now on earth because faith delivers it. Are you with me? Your faith delivers to you heaven on earth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The realities of heaven, because now as a child of God, I'm a citizen of heaven. Yeah? So like I'm like UK sends an ambassador to the US. Though they are in US, the ambassador can still enjoy the benefits of UK. Hallelujah. Because they are a citizen of where? UK. They are being paid by who? UK. Are you with me? When there's trouble, hopefully there will be no trouble in US. They can quickly redeploy back to UK to hide. Then they can come back when everything's settled. Are you with me? You are a citizen of heaven. You have the blessed hope of salvation, but faith is the substance. Faith is what delivers results for you on earth. The results of heaven is delivered on earth by what? By faith. That's when you pray, you cannot just hope that God answers. Hope is future. Are you with me? When you pray, say, oh, I hope. Anybody can hope. It's good to have hope. Are you with me? Don't be hopeless. People who are hopeless are depressed and suicidal. Hallelujah. But you don't need to be like that because Jesus Christ, yeah, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what he said? He has promised. He said, I will never leave you. Say, Jesus, will never leave me. Even when you have messed up, complete. He's still waiting for you to come back. Hallelujah. He said, he will never forsake you. So when David, the psalmist, he said, even when my father, you know, normally your father and mother should not forsake you. Normally, they shouldn't. And as I was explaining to somebody the other day, I said, apart from Jesus, the people that care most about you, really, are your parents. They sort of have this care that transcends them. They don't understand. No matter what you do, they still care. Are you with me? And that's why the Bible says that we should honor your father and your mother. Even when they don't care, still honor them. Because the Lord will reward you. Hallelujah. But even if they did forsake you, the Lord himself will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. I want you to be sure about that. So wherever you are in your journey in life, I want you to know that you can always go and reach your heavenly Father. You have a direct access to God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Through faith, I can enjoy the realities of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Let's go. Let's look a bit more into faith. Let's have verse 3. I love verse 3. I want to teach you. I'm teaching you about faith today. And I want to teach you, you know, a solid thing you should not forget. Verse 3. That's Revelation there. Verse 3. Let's have another person. Hebrews 11:3. We have two readings. Go on.
By faith, we understand that.
By faith, yes.
We understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
I know you read it before. Yes, let's have another reading. I know you've read it before, but God has shown me, you know, the word of God is new every day. This revelation, if you are going to ever understand faith, you need to understand verse 3. Go on.
Yeah. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Hallelujah. Let me explain something to you. Faith is not sense. And sense is not faith. Your senses are based on the things you can perceive physically. You know, the things you can see, the things you can hear, the things you can smell, taste, and feel. Those are your senses. Yeah? And they make sense to you because you can perceive them physically. Are you with me? But faith is another dimension. Yeah? Faith is spiritual. Sense is physical. However, faith is superior to sense. Let me explain why. The Bible says that everything you can see, everything. So let's start from this church. The plastic chairs, the people, the sunglasses, the hairdo, the building. Yeah? Expand it. Basingstoke. And it's about 300,000 inhabitants. Yeah? Expand it, Hampshire. Expand it, UK. With all the cars and the lorries and the cranes. Yeah? Expand it, Europe. Expand it, the whole world. Think about that blue globe. Yeah, called the Earth. And the moon. And the nine planets that form the solar system. Expand it. In the solar system, the sun is just one of a billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Yeah? Expand it. The Milky Way galaxy is just one of a billion galaxies in the universe. The Bible says that everything we can see came forth by the word of God. That's faith. You need to understand. For you to understand faith, you need to understand that God, open to John chapter 4, verse 24. Let's understand that, babies. John, that basic. John chapter 4, verse 24. I'm compressed for time, so I'm trying to pack in a lot. John 4:24. Yes, let's have someone read. John chapter 4, verse 24. Yes, Amanda? John 4:24. You there? John chapter 4, verse 24. Yes? We pass it on.
God.
Yes, go.
God is a spirit.
God is who?
Is a spirit.
Capital letter. God is a spirit. Yes?
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen. We'll come back to the worship him in spirit and truth later, maybe next week. The first to emphasize there is God is who? Spirit. Think about it. Everything that exists physically in the world today came from a spirit. Hallelujah. In fact, I dare say to you that the whole universe was inside God. Hallelujah. And by his word, he released it. The Bible said, nothing exists without him. That's what we call creation. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand that this spirit, the spiritual thing, is infinitely superior and infinitely greater than the physical. Anything that exists physically first exists spiritually. Let's explain it a bit more. Let's use a physical illustration. Okay, think of a big, mighty gorilla, like King Kong. Yeah, can you picture King Kong? I mean the new King Kong. The old King Kong was low tech. The new King Kong, high tech. Can you picture King Kong? Do you know how King Kong started? As a tiny microscopic egg. King Kong. It started as what? A tiny microscopic egg that you could not even see if I was put it in front of you. That is just, and that's still physical. We're not just talking of spiritual, that's just physical. From a tiny microscopic egg, it became King Kong. Yeah? But before that egg came into being, God released it from the spirit. Everything that exists physically first exists in the spirit. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So faith, that's why we explain to you that faith is substance. It's not physical substance, it's spiritual substance. But it can deliver physical results. Why? Because everything that ever existed anyway came from the word of God. So if I and the chair and the heart and whatever came from the word of God, then any other thing can be released by the word of God. Hallelujah. Faith is the law of the spirit. Faith is the language of God. Hallelujah. Let me show you how God created the universe. It was in him. The universe did not exist when God said, let's make. No. From eternity past, universe was in God, including you. Hallelujah. I know you're a tiny microscopic part of the universe, but you were in God. But before the foundations of the world, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was crucified from the foundations of the world. Yeah? So, when it was time, God said, light be. And the light was. Where did the light come from? From God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith is the substance of things. Let me stop there because of time. We'll come back. I want to define faith for you. You know, you want to write down, please write down. You see, you can see already from verse 3 that there is no faith without the word of God. Say, by faith we understand that everything that was created. Let me read it. Hebrews 11:3. Look at your Bible. Read my Bible. I'll read mine. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The word of God. Meaning, no word, no faith. Hello? No word, no faith. That's why Romans 10:17 tells you, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The word. Hallelujah. Faith is confidence. I'm quoting something for you right now, if you want to. Faith is confidence in the realities of the word of God. Hallelujah. Faith is what? Confidence in the realities of the word of God. That's the basis of faith. No word, no faith. If you are having faith without the word, it's just called positive thinking. It's not faith. By the way, it's good to be positive. You understand? It's good to be positive. But it's not positive thinking that will deliver for you supernatural results. Is faith. And faith is based on what? The word. Amen? Let me also, for you to understand faith, I've told you the difference between faith and sense, but I want to tell you another thing. Although that's my own terminology, but it's good for you to understand it. There's a difference between truth and fact. So, it's like what Pilate asked. He said, what is truth? You see, fact is what you see, or what you hear, or what you smell. You know, like if my wife has just, you know, cooked a very nice dish, you know, fried rice with fried plantain, fried chicken, everything fried. My nasal senses Yeah? So stimulated, my mouth will water. Do you understand? That's a fact. That you are sitting down there now is what? A fact. Are you with me? That's a fact. It's sunny today is what? A fact. Let me crack one joke. That Davina, my darling sister in the Lord, is taller than me today is a fact. Stand up, Davina. They don't even believe. Let them stand up. Just stand up. Look at her. You can see Davina, as far as today is concerned, is taller than me. That's a fact. That fact may change evening time, okay? I use that example to make you understand that facts change all the time. You know, you haven't met someone say, no, I'm a factual person. I'd rather be factual. I face the fact. I know. But the fact can deliver you. Usually the fact will slap you in the face. Yeah? You don't negotiate. Yeah? Are you with me? The facts cannot save you. Hallelujah. Because the facts are based on your physical senses. Hallelujah. But truth. Truth is everything that God says. Hallelujah. Truth is what? Everything that God says. Irrespective of the fact. Hallelujah. For example, Israel was disbanded as a nation. But God already said that they are coming back as a nation. Almost 2,000 years later, they became what? A nation. That's truth. Truth does not change. Let me tell you one nature of truth. Facts change. Truth does not change. From eternity past to eternity future, truth is truth. It will never change. It will not move one inch. But facts change all the time. Are you with me? That's why Jesus said, he said, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. It's not facts that will set you free, my sister. It's the truth. Say, I need truth. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something what truth is. Truth is the word of God. Hallelujah. Open to your Bible to Psalm 119. Let me show you something about truth and the word of God. You see, if we don't settle all these things, you cannot understand faith. Psalm 119, verse 89. Now, someone who has not read today, Psalm 119, verse 89. Lisa, would you try? Psalm 119, verse 89.
Forever, O Lord.
Forever. I want you to get the point. Forever. Don't miss that one. You know, I have to just pause. Forever. Go on, please.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Do you see that? It will never, never change, and it will never, never fail. Hallelujah. It will never what? Change, and it will never fail. That's why the Bible says that the wise man, he built his house on the rock, which is the word. Is there anybody that hears what I'm saying and does it? It's like a wise man who built his heart on the rock. He said the facts may change. The winds may come, the storms may come, whatever, but that house will not be moved. Why? Because it is built on the rock. What is that rock? Truth. The word of God is true. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So, what I want you to understand is that truth is spiritual. Facts are physical. And from generation past to generation future, the physical must always bow to the spiritual. Now, let me explain the spiritual to you so that you understand. You see, the spiritual is like when you have a big circle, and the physical is a small circle inside the big circle. The physical is a subset of the spiritual. Now, because we are limited, yeah, because we are human, When you are transformed, you no longer be limited. Yeah? You know, we are limited to 3D. But life is not 3D. Even scientists who have studied said that there are at least 10 dimensions. But those 10, you can't perceive them because you are limited. Are you with me? Yeah? Think about it. If you take a ball, it's 3D, yeah? Put it on, take it to a piece of paper, yeah? And try to capture what it looks like on paper. What do you see? So taking a ball, projecting it on paper, what will you see on paper? A circle. Now, for the person who lives D, all they will perceive is what? A circle. They will never perceive the ball. Because they are living where? In 2D. You with me? Hallelujah. Faith is another dimension. But let me tell you something. Thankfully, you are not just living in the physical. You are a spirit. And you can perceive the spiritual. But you can only perceive the spiritual, yeah, with the spiritual. I can perceive physical things with my physical senses, yeah? I can perceive spiritual things with my spiritual senses. And what's my spiritual sense? It's faith. Because faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says that without faith, you cannot please God. I want to expand that word to you. It doesn't mean just like without faith, you cannot make God happy. It simply means that without faith, you cannot get results from God. Hello? Because if God is unhappy, why will he give you any result? By the way, let me explain. The result you are looking for in God is not as if God was withholding them from you. Because all the results you want, they are already inside God. Imagine somebody who whole universe. What are you looking for that can compare to the whole universe? Think of your biggest problem in life. It's still not comparable to the whole universe. And if he could release the whole universe, and he could give up his son to be crucified, everything you are looking for is already inside God. Hallelujah. But it's through your faith that you can experience the reality of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Don't forget this. God is a spirit. Say to yourself, say, God is a spirit. I will round up now in 10 minutes. Let's say 5-7 minutes. We'll continue later, but I still need to teach few things before we round up. The spiritual is infinitely superior to the physical. But that's not the best way to say it. The spiritual is a superset of the physical. It means if I want to change something in the spirit, in the physical, there are two options I have. I can try to change it directly in the physical. I may succeed, I may not succeed. Or I can change it in the spiritual, then just relax. Because ultimately, once it changes spiritual, it will change where? The physical. Hallelujah. That's the law of faith. Hallelujah. That's the law of faith. Now, let me say something. You cannot have faith until you know what God has said about you. Because no word, no faith. No word, no faith. You have to know what God has said about you. Hallelujah. And the only way you can know what God has said about you, you may want to write it down, is through fellowship. Fellowship with the word. Fellowship with the spirit. Fellowship with believers. Hallelujah. He said, tell you something, if your faith is low, don't go to where, to a church that they don't have any faith. Because if you need faith to solve a problem, and you perceive that your faith is low, yeah, then already you know that you need to go where, to a company of people that have more faith than you, so that your faith will be lifted. If you remain where the faith is low, the little faith you have will be drained. Are you with me? That's why I said that the only faith way you can have faith, and that faith will be effective, is to be in genuine fellowship with the word and with the spirit. And usually that will come to pass in also in a place in the fellowship of believers. You see, every time you're in genuine fellowship with believers, your faith will rise. Your love will rise. And your hope will rise. Hallelujah. I don't know where to stop. Because we just crashed the surface. Let me see if there's something I can share before we... Yes, so we're talking about faith being, you know, without the word, you cannot have faith. Yeah? Let me see what I can pack in 5 minutes. Let me see what we can pack in. Okay, let me do this. Now, there's something I said last week, and I did get a question, so I will revisit it for your benefit. I said that when you are praying to God for a solution, the what type of prayer you can pray is, Father, I have this problem, but if it be thy will, solve it. Yeah? You know why it's the worst prayer? If it was all up to God, he would have solved all the problems in life. The world would be perfect. Have you never thought about it? Have you never thought about it? You know, God is supreme. He's God. But he's not the one running this world. Do you know that? Who is running? Take it easy. Who is running the UK? Somebody help me. Who is running the UK? As far as you know.
Theresa May.
Theresa May. And when Theresa May decides that it's Brexit, it is what?
It's Brexit.
That one is not God's fault. I don't know if you got what I'm trying to say. God delivered the earth to man to run. Amen? Now, every time man cooperates with God, God's will be done on earth. That's why the Lord says, prayer says, your will be done on earth as it is in. That already tells us that his will is not automatically being done on earth. Otherwise, we don't need to pray that prayer. Every time man cooperates with God, his will be done on earth. Every time man does not cooperate with God, he doesn't even need to cooperate with the devil. I told you, the devil is a thief. He doesn't need permission. For Satan to operate in any life, he doesn't need what? Permission. He just needs an open door. He will steal in. He's a thief. Do you get it? So every time that man does not cooperate with God, Satan comes in. And I don't know if you know the nature of Satan. Satan is a destroyer. You know, like, imagine somebody who is just mad. Wants to. If God left Satan, he will destroy everything in one day. He will just destroy it. Yeah? Are you with me? So what I'm trying to tell you is that if not for the restraining power of God, according to his mercy, the nuclear bomb should have gone and we should all be toast. Do you get it? Because left to Satan is what? A destroyer. Are you with me? So for God's will to come to pass in your life, you need to stand in the place of agreement with God. You do that by agreeing with his word. You do that by holding firm to his word. You do that by claiming his word. And when you come to prayer, your job, first and foremost, is to know God's will. And let me, okay, I'll round up on this scripture. And we stop. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. Let's look at verse 14 to 15. I'll stop there. And then next week we will continue. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. Yes? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. Anyone with me now? Who is going to read? Sister Pamela too. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. Please read it. Follow in your Bible, please.
And we are confident that he hears us wherever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for.
Okay. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you so much. Okay. Let's have that from another version. Anybody have New King James or King James? Anybody not read today? Yes. Let's have Sister Claudia.
And this is the confidence that we
please
have.
Understand faith. I will explain it to you. We are finishing now on this note. Please get this point. If you miss this point, you've missed the message today. This is the confidence, yes?
This is the confidence that we have in him.
By the way, if you read Hebrews 11:1 from maybe New Living Verse Translation, it says faith is the confidence. Yeah? That's why I define that. Faith is confidence to live in the realities of heaven on earth. Now, he now explains faith to us. He said, this is the confidence that we have. Go on.
That we have in
yes.
him.
Yes.
That if we ask anything according to his will.
Anything according to his will. So you understand that for your faith to work, you need to be certain of God's will. Because if you are not certain of God's will, you cannot have confidence in making a claim to it. Hallelujah. If I don't know what God has said about me, I cannot claim it. Are you with me? If I don't know what God has provided for me, I cannot make a demand of it. Hallelujah. And no matter how much I pray and I cry with tears, and I say, if it be thy will, I am breaking the law of God when I'm not walking by faith. And God is not pleased. Hello? Now, if I'm a baby Christian, that's okay. Because babies, as you know, we have to spoon feed them. Yeah? We help them along the way. It's okay if you're a baby Christian. That is, you were just born in some, you know, a few months ago to pray, Lord, you know. I don't know if it be that way. Because you don't know. You don't know because you don't know. You've not had the opportunity to learn, isn't it? But when you have that 5-year-old child still asking you for some milk, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Same with God. God expects you to know his will. Please repeat yourself. Say, God expects me to know his will. Please finish that scripture and I'll just nail it there and we finish it.
If we ask anything according to his will,
yes,
he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Let me just break that down so you get it. Look at the principle of faith there. He said, this is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything that corners with, when I know the will of God, I can confidently make a claim to it. And the Bible says that when I approach prayer like that, from the very moment I prayed, I can be certain that he heard me. Why am I certain that he heard me? Because I have asked in line with his will. Hallelujah. I don't need any confirmation. The moment I pray in accordance with his will, I know that he hears me. Now get the principle of prayer. The Bible gives us a condition. That he said, if we know that he hears us, then we know that whatever we have asked for has been granted. When granted? The moment he heard us. And when does he hear us? The moment we ask according to his will, with confidence. Hallelujah. Now, you see, there's a difference between when God grants your prayer and when you get the result. Because God is a spirit. So when God grants your prayer, that answer first released in the spirit. Hallelujah. Because God is what? A spirit. Hallelujah. When you pray in accordance with the will of God, the answer is released to you that moment in the spirit. Hallelujah. It's like when if you go to a shop and you want to buy a new refrigerator or a new furniture for your living room or bedroom or conservatory or whatever, you know, and it's too big or they've not even made it. Yeah, let's assume they've not even made it. So what do? You go in there and you pay. Hallelujah. Then they give you what? A receipt. Now, you don't have that furniture in your house yet, do you? But you have the receipt. And you are confident that that furniture will be delivered. Hallelujah. Because you have the receipt. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And until I have it, my faith is my evidence that is on the way. The delivery is from the spirit to the physical. Hallelujah. Anything God wants to do in your life, it will start from the spirit. That's why when God wants to really bless you, the first thing you need to do is to change your heart. There's no point to tell God bless you and you don't want your heart to be changed. Hallelujah. Because the blessing cannot be sustained. But we need to round up there. What I'm trying to explain to you is that because God knows that you cannot make a demand of anything from him without confidence. And you cannot have confidence without knowing his will. That's why God has the primary responsibility to reveal his will to you. Yeah? God has the primary responsibility to reveal his will to you. And I want to announce to you that God has done it. or God is doing it. Because the first thing God did was to provide you with what? A Bible. God's word is God's will. Can it be better than that? You know, like someone died and he was very rich and wrote a will. Usually they will have to write it down, isn't it? This is God's will. In this Bible, you can know everything that God has provided for you. Hallelujah. God has done his part now. It's your part to meditate on his will until you are confident to make a demand of it. Now, there are some other things in our lives that are specific that you may not know exactly from God's word. But I want to tell you that those things are usually like 5%. They're not 95%. The 95% of the things you need in life are already explained in the Bible. What God's will is about them. Amen? Like I keep saying, there's no point trying to pray to God to claim another person's husband or wife. The Bible makes it very clear that that is not God's will. There's no point praying and say, God, kill my enemy. The Bible makes you understand that God is not interested in the death of the sinner, but that they will come repentance. We know that. You don't need to come and see me for that. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. But let's assume that I want to choose a school for my son. Yeah? And I have like 3-4 schools. And I'm thinking, you know, well, I know that it's God's will that he gets a good school. I'm sure about that. Hallelujah. But I have these choices. I don't know which one is the better or, you know, which one. I also know from God's will, from the Bible, that whatever school my son is going to should not hinder my ability to serve God effectively. These are basics. It doesn't matter how good that school is. If it's going to hinder my ability to serve God effectively, then it's not God's will. I don't need any consultation about that. It's in the Bible. But let's assume that I have 3 schools that are satisfied all these criteria, and I don't know which one. Well, I can still approach prayer and claim all of them. Hallelujah. I did. I claimed them 3, and I got them 3. Hallelujah. But more important is that as you continue to pray, God will reveal his specific will to you by his Spirit. That's why you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Hallelujah. And don't ever pray and say, if you be there, we know. Seek to know his will. Then you can be confident to claim his will. Because if you are not confident, your delivery from the Spirit to the physical can be aborted. But that's not your portion. In Jesus' name. You see that? Delivery can be aborted. Have you ever had an aborted delivery in the physical? I'm talking of in terms of a good from the shop that they say, no, you know, sorry, we could not deliver to you. Yeah? You don't want that, do you? You need to protect that process. And you do that with faith. Let's pray. We stop there. There's so much to say. So I just wanted to start with some basics so that you understand. That's why the Bible says that our faith is the victory that overcomes this world. Because faith is what we deliver to you, the reality of heaven. And I want to announce to you that the real reality is not facts. The real reality is truth. Because truth never changes. Hallelujah. And when you build your life on truth, you will enjoy the realities of heaven on earth. Pray to God and say, Father, help me to live by faith. Help me to pay attention to your word. Help me to meditate on your word, to be confident in your word until it delivers the goods for me from spirit to physical. Because God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him out in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.